For the past 4 years, U.S. Special Forces conduct numerous raids against al-Qaeda and other militant groups inside countries not at war with the United States. Recent attacks in Pakistan and Syria became public. Others remain secret. The New York Times reports today that these military raids, usually coordinated and conducted with the CIA, took place not just in Syria and Pakistan, but in Somalia and other countries, too. They were authorized by a classified order signed by then-Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and approved by President Bush in the spring of 2004. Mark Mazzetti co-wrote today's front-page story with Eric Schmidt, and Mark joins us now from a studio here in Washington. Nice to have you on the program, Mark.
Thanks for having me on.
And one of these scenes, these raids, you describe as a scene almost like from a movie. Navy SEALs crossed the border into Pakistan and raided a village while officials in Washington watched real time from a camera on a Predator drone flying above.
That's right. We're told that the special operations troops were attacking a compound inside the mountainous tribal areas, and that there was an agreement that they needed to actually have people on the ground to conduct this raid, as opposed to just doing a Predator airstrike, which has been happening a lot in the tribal areas. So, yeah, the technology is quite something that allows them all to watch it in real time.
And there was also, in addition to the raids you report, several others, at least, where the missions were scrubbed because of either diplomatic problems or because of concerns over poor intelligence.
That's right. We reported today that even after this execute order, as they're called, that gave authorities to do these kinds of missions, they still needed to be approved. And so it allowed the Pentagon to sort of gather intelligence and to draw up mission plans to do these kind of raids. But ultimately, they had to get approvals from the highest levels of government. And in the case that we described in the story today, it was a suspected militant meeting of al-Qaeda leaders, possibly with Ayman Zawahiri, the number two in al-Qaeda. And ultimately, it was scrubbed at the last minute because they felt they weren't 100% sure he was there, and it may have just been too risky.
And these stories have been coming out in dribs and drabs. That story was reported in the New York Times and elsewhere as well. Then, of course, the raid into Pakistan, 6 weeks ago or so, and then the more recent raid into Syria, both of which drew a lot of attention.
Yeah, and it's this activity in the last couple months that really got us curious about what authorities they were using, whether the raid in Pakistan happened with the same legal authority that the raid in Syria happened, and also whether this was the first time this had happened, specifically in the Syria case. So it got Eric Schmidt and I to sort of be asking around. We were curious about what had happened in the past, and that's when we found out that there was this order that happened in 2004, and in fact that there had been several such raids inside Syria in the past, just not as high profile as the one that happened last month.
And several raids into Pakistan as well, including the one we were just talking about, in addition to the one that caused such embarrassment last month.
That's correct, and the Pakistani raids have been very few and far between, mostly because of the real political sensitivities to doing that in Pakistan. As we saw, there was a mission early September, and since then the United States hasn't done it again because there was such a vehement protest from the Pakistani government that really surprised people in Washington. Sometimes there's the statements for public consumption, but then there's a wink and nod to give in to allow these things. But in fact, there was real strong opposition.
There are raids also you describe in Somalia, but the authorization order suggests that these raids may have occurred in as many as 20 countries.
That's correct. As we understand it, the order allowed, it sort of created an umbrella that allowed these missions to take place in a number of countries where al-Qaeda cells are believed to be located. We certainly don't think that the missions have occurred in every one of those countries. But again, they are used sparingly, in part because when you have the military doing these types of strikes, it does open a kind of a legal can of worms that using the CIA doesn't. The CIA generally tends to operate under different authorities. They have ability to do covert actions, which are denied by the U.S. government. If the military is doing it, it's not covert. So if someone were to be captured in that country, the U.S. would have to acknowledge that person's existence, acknowledge that that person was acting on behalf of the United States. So it becomes a lot trickier with the military.
Easier in Somalia, where there's not really much of a government anywhere. And
exactly.
There are situations that you describe. Well, getting back to the countries involved, yes, in Somalia, where there's very little much of a government, but Iran seems to be a different case altogether, specifically excluded, according to your story, from this list where these kinds of raids might be authorized.
That is our understanding, that Iran was certainly discussed when this order was being put together, but it was deliberately taken off the table for a whole number of reasons. I think in part because this order was really specifically designed against al-Qaeda, and the history of Iran and al-Qaeda is murky, but it's certainly not Iran is not a place where al-Qaeda is believed to be operating with a sort of impunity or with a safe haven. Also, Iran is just such a diplomatically sensitive issue. That's not to say that there may have been special operations missions inside of Iran to gather intelligence, but they, as far as we can tell, were not included as part of this order.
And another thing that came of interest from your story is the debate between the Department of Defense under then Secretary Rumsfeld and the Central Intelligence Agency, which had to work out, hey, who's in charge here? Who gets to decide?
Yeah, there's a whole history here that goes back to the beginning of the Bush administration with real tensions between the Rumsfeld Pentagon and the CIA. The sort of famous story is that the CIA got into Afghanistan after September 11th so quickly that this angered Rumsfeld, that the Pentagon couldn't mobilize so quickly, and that he was always trying to make the Pentagon less reliant on the CIA. So one of the things he wanted to do was actually be more proactive with special operations troops, getting them to go to places where they traditionally haven't gone. And this did ruffle feathers at the CIA, because the idea is that the CIA and the State Department has control over any U.S. personnel in a country because the ambassador's there. With the military now going into places, there was some deconfliction that needed to happen.
And deconfliction between the CIA and the Department of Defense, make sure that you didn't end up shooting at your own people. And,
correct.
And make sure that everybody knew what the page they were on. But also the State Department is involved here. Are ambassadors always informed that U.S. troops are going into secretly going into a country where they are representing the United States and attacking targets?
The people we've talked to on this issue say that things are a lot better than they used to be. There were separate arrangements worked out between the Pentagon, the State Department, the Pentagon, and the CIA that basically allowed or really mandated better coordination, so that the American ambassador in a country has knowledge and has to be notified that, for instance, special operations troops are going in. But before these notifications were worked out and these understandings were worked out, it got pretty hairy. And in one of the examples we reported today, that they were actually trying to do a mission inside of Pakistan without notifying Ryan Crocker, who was the American ambassador in Islamabad. So it was, in some cases, it's because the information is fleeting and they feel like they need to act quickly. And the more people they tell, the more it can get bogged down. But it's this is a real source of tension, or has been a source of tension inside the national security apparatus.
And obviously, this whole decision making order was decided upon so that people could act quickly on what they call actionable intelligence within a matter of hours, rather than trying to plan something for days or weeks or months in advance. Nevertheless, institution of government which may feel cut out of this is Congress, which generally likes to know when American forces are going into countries the United States has not declared war upon.
That's right. And it's our assumption that the congressional committees have been made aware of this order and these authorities. Certainly, anytime the CIA does a covert action, they have to notify Congress, the Congressional Intelligence Committees. And it's our understanding that in these sort of super secret special operations missions, that members of the Senate Armed Services Committee are notified.
And there are different levels of authorization. Some kinds of missions in some countries may require the permission of the signing off by the Secretary of Defense. Others may require the President's signature.
That's right. There are kind of different tiers. For instance, Somalia, an operation inside Somalia wouldn't necessarily have to get approved by cabinet level of the Bush administration. In part, as you mentioned earlier, when you're doing actions against Somalia, there's not a real government to anger, so there's less of a sort of diplomatic blowback than if you're going to even consider a military mission inside of Pakistan or inside of Syria. I mean, it is interesting that there have been several missions inside Syria in the past, and it's really only the one that happened a month ago that the Syrian government took issue about and really made a public stink over. That may be because it was just such a high profile mission, and it's embarrassing for the country. Maybe because they didn't know. It's tough to figure out.
Very quickly, do we know these are very risky, not only for the people involved but for the country? Are they effective?
It's hard to say. There are, for instance, the raids inside of Somalia. They believe that they were able to strike at members of an Al Qaeda cell in the Horn of Africa, and that was effective. In Syria, they believed a month ago that they killed a pretty senior Al Qaeda Iraq operative. So, but it's hard now, just learning these details. It's hard at this point to make any kind of big assessment of the success or failure of these operations.
Mark Mazzetti, thanks very much for your time today. Interesting story.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for The New York Times. He co-wrote today's front page story on the secret order authorizing U.S. raids against Al-Qaeda, with us today from the studios of the Christian Science Monitor here in Washington, D.C. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.